Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome again to the Steve Jones Show, where the Eagles appear to have their coaching situation squared away. A day after officially hiring Chiefs offensive coordinator Doug Peterson as their head coach, the Eagles have a new defensive coordinator as well. They have agreed with former Detroit Lions coach Jim Schwartz to be their defensive coordinator. Now, there's a lot of different reports that say that is a done deal. Schwartz, recently the defensive coordinator for the Bills, got them to the NFL's second-best defense during the 2014 season. He reportedly had a position with the Miami Dolphins, but declined that position. So look for Schwartz to bring his 4-3 defense to Philly. Could mean some personnel changes, too. The Eagles played kind of a hybrid style of that defense under Chip Kelly and Bill Davis, but mostly operated out of the 3-4 set. We'll get Steve's thoughts on exactly how that's going to come about. We'll also chat a little bit about the Australian Open, because normally we don't talk a ton about tennis, but it is the first major of the year, and there were a couple of big, big upsets earlier today. So we'll talk a little bit more about that coming up. Take your calls as well at 800-795-9565. Plus, we'll talk about some of the topics that you're interested in as well. So that's all coming up today on the Steve Jones Show. Getting ready for the playoffs, too, on stevejonesshow.com. That's our website. You can answer our poll question. If you can only watch one game on Sunday, only one game, which one would you not want to miss? The AFC Championship game or the NFC Championship game? Which one would you like to make sure you did not absolutely 100% not miss? And I think for me, it's probably the AFC Championship game. Not because I think the AFC Championship game is going to be better than the NFC Championship game, but I've just watched AFC football more often than NFC football. And you know, it kind of goes with that way with baseball, too. I kind of prefer the National League over the American League because I'm a Phillies fan, so I watch a lot more National League baseball than American League. So I think that's the only reason I picked that.
The DH thing.
No. That has nothing to do with the DH.
John Mazalek, by the way, says of the Cardinals. Have you read that article?
I don't think I have.
Do you read? No.
I read a lot today, but I don't think I saw that one.
Oh, this is from a couple days ago.
Oh, well, there
John
you go.
John Mazalek from the Cardinals. Oh, okay, you just don't read on the weekend.
I just don't read on the weekends.
John Mazalek on the Cardinals says there is now a lot more support for the DH in the National League. A lot more. And when John Mazalek talks, people do listen. This is the Cardinals, after all.
Well, I was just saying, you know, I was talking about our SteveJonesShow.com poll. If you could only watch one game on Sunday, which one would you not want to miss? And for me, it's the AFC Championship game. And I think that's because of being a Steeler fan, I watch the AFC more often. And then I was saying the same thing for me with Major League Baseball. I see more National League games than I do American League games because of being a Phillies fan. So absolutely. I favor the National League.
I like games with seven legitimate hitters in the lineup.
If you're a Phillies fan, sometimes it can be a little less. But, you know, it's a work in progress. That's why I was talking about baseball in that particular instance. Well, that and Sunday night at around 8 o'clock, it became baseball season for me.
So the poll question is, if you could pick one game,
right? If you could only watch one game on Sunday,
why that poll question?
I'm open to other suggestions.
People don't have that. They can watch both. There is no choice.
Well, no, you may have an event that you have to go to, or, you know, maybe a family thing, or, you know. So
I'm traveling.
Right. You're not going to be able to watch them.
No, I should be able to. I think we're leaving earlier. I want to say we're leaving maybe noon, 1 o'clock. We should be able to be, it's only an hour flight. If that, 50 minutes to Columbus? So, yeah, I'm flying Sunday. So, Girardi, Tarman, and I will pull up a spot in the Blackwell Bar and watch.
Do you are you allowed data service on the flight?
No.
No? Can't watch it then, huh?
But I think we're already going to be landed and there when the game starts.
What's the AFC? Is that a 3 o'clock kick?
3 o'clock. And we're going to have Mark Daniels from the Providence Journal on today to talk about the Patriots. As we pointed out this morning, Kevin, the greatest producer in the universe. Not just planet, but universe.
Never claimed that.
I mean, yeah, but I did for you.
All right.
I mean, yesterday... You know, Lawrence threw that down this gauntlet. Kevin Hurd, greatest producer on the planet. Well, to me, I thought, well, this has got to be bigger than just the planet. So I picked universe, and that's why I said, we'll see what he comes up with today. And Kevin comes up with Mark Daniels of the Providence Journal to talk about the Patriots. Brilliant move by you. And Pete Jensen from NHL.com. I mean, two strong moves by you.
I do what I can.
You certainly do. whatever you can.
Did you hear how much the SEC got in revenue for the first year of the college football playoff in the SEC network? $527.4 million, a 62% increase from the year before. That's a lot of cabbage.
Yeah, but what's that divided by 14?
Well, that's what I'm looking through here. Let's see.
Okay, looking through it as a calculator. Just take the number.
The commissioner received approximately $3.6 million in base compensation.
Right, I understand that, but just take the number divided by 14.
I have to take the calculator out. Math wasn't my strength.
562 divided by 14 is about 33.
527 divided by 14.
It's about 31, 32 million per school.
527. Well, I have to turn it sideways because my phone doesn't do 500 million. let's see. 37.6 million.
37.6 million.
Yes.
Now, the conference office probably gets a cut, so it's probably divided by 15.
Yeah, it says the commissioner got $3.6 million in compensation.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... except the...
Oh, here it is. Here's the number, Steve. $457.8 million to its 14 members, an average of 32.7 per school. That's up $21 million from the 13-14.
No offense. What did I say?
I don't know. I didn't hear it. I didn't listen.
I said they probably got 31 or 32 million to schools, what I said. Okay. That's fine.
You're wrong. They got 32.7.
I am wrong. You're correct. It's 32.7. Here's the Kevin Herr memo of the day. This is always entertaining.
Oh, it's a good one today.
Jim Schwartz, new Eagles defensive coordinator. Did well with the Bills, thought. He's always been a good defensive coordinator, or it's been very good defensively almost everywhere he's went. I think he has decent personnel to work with. Alonzo's going to have to be a guy that comes on for him. Cox is an unbelievable player.
Well, the one thing I did say, though, he's a 4-3 guy, and the Eagles played 3-4 base. So there might be some personnel changes in Philadelphia defensively.
Yeah, to a point. Whatever. Who's a free agent? Move him out.
Next.
Seriously, I mean, there's so much movement now in the NFL with free agencies. It's just so many interchangeable parts. And you're right, he's a 4-3 guy. And that's... And, you know, I've told the story many times where we were doing Thursday Night Talk Show. And we used to do the Thursday Night Talk Show with Joe in the conference room just off the coach's locker room on the bottom floor at Lash. And there's a huge whiteboard up there because obviously they go in there and they, you know, do some conference things in there once in a while. And we were in a commercial break. Somebody was asking about, I don't know, about some play they ran, this, that, and the other thing. And okay, so now we go to a commercial break. And he gets up and he puts down all these circles and line up in these X's. And he says, Steve, I can draw any play here I want. He says, you know what the success of the play is? The true success of the play happens to be?
The Jimmys and Joes?
I said, who's there? He says, yeah. He says, but it's more than that. He says, I want to know exactly what name is inside that circle, and I want to know exactly what name is in that X. He said, that will tell me the success of the play. If X is better than the circle, he said, X is going to win it probably. He said, if the circle's better than the X, then the circle's going to win the play. I know you hate those theories.
No. That's one theory that I absolutely, totally agree with.
Yeah, but that's what it comes down to. You can scheme up all you want. You have better people. It's going to work. Let's see. Rose to enter Reds Hall of Fame. What needs to change for him to be eligible for the Baseball Hall of Fame?
Yeah, obviously the Reds control their own Hall of Fame. They don't have to follow... You know, Major League Baseball's lead there. Yeah. But what has to change? I remember you said this one other time. Is it the writers that have to change the rules, or
no.
Does Major League Baseball have to change the rules?
No. Baseball Hall of Fame has to change the rules. All the Baseball Hall of Fame has to do is say he's eligible and he's on the ballot.
Okay, so they've actually chosen to not make him eligible.
Right.
Okay. I mean, well, that's what I thought.
The Baseball Hall of Fame is actually a separate entity unto itself. They can make him eligible if they want. And again, what I would do would be simple. Okay? Let's go with PEDs. If it's, you know, if we vote you in, like take Barry Bonds, we vote you in and we find out that you are guilty beyond a shadow of a doubt, we will rescind the Hall of Fame and take the plaque off the wall. That's how I'd handle it. And I put him on the ballot. I put him to a vote. Let him be voted on, up or down. He's not going to get 75%. He's not going to get 75%. But I would at least allow him to be voted on, plus or minus. That way he has a vote. Why not? Nadal and Venus out opening round Australia. Is this the change of the guard in tennis? Well, Venus Williams has been up and down the last few years, Kevin. She's been kind of up and down in the majors in the last, like, 4 years. She made a great run in the U.S. Open last year before her sister beat her. I want to say beat her in the quarterfinals, I want to say. It's quarterfinals. And then Serena lost in the semis, beat her in the quarterfinals in New York. So Venus has had, every once in a while, can make a run, but those runs have been fewer. She's older. She's in her mid-30s now. Rafa Nadal's been fighting injuries. And that's been a big problem for him, has been fighting injuries. And I think he kind of fell, maybe he's starting to round into form in Australia. But the big story in Australia right now is about the throwing of matches and what it means, you know, and that's been the predominant story.
That's disturbing to me.
Have people been asked to throw matches? Novak Djokovic says, I was offered $200,000 to throw one. You know, turned it down, didn't do it. But that's been the big story down there. Pete McKinnon, hot stove banquet, Williamsport. I'm going to tell him, Ryan Howard, if he wants to hit against left-handed hitters this year, he has to prove to me he can hit better than he has. If he can't, I'll be platooning him. Okay, he's in charge. Good for him.
No, I'm not complaining about that. I just think it's interesting. That's a lot of money okay. to be platooning right now. And I think it's a good thing.
But that is not his job. He did not give him the contract. His job is to win baseball games.
Nope.
And if he looks out there and he happens to think that he is not going to win baseball games with him hitting against left-handed hitters, it is his job to look at him and say, you're not hitting against left-handers. You're not helping the club win games. I mean, that's his job. It is not his job to kowtow to a contract. It's his job to look at and put the best lineup out there to win the game on that particular night. And good for him. That means he's got a backbone, and I respect him tremendously for saying it. Who will be the next Philly sports team to win a title and why? Never means I don't have to explain why. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This year's New Year's resolution at Sunbury Motors Kia is easy. Wanna see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia. Easy as in 0% APR financing for up to 66 months on all remaining 2015 models, as well as the 2016 Sereno, Sportage, Sedona, Forte, and the iconic Soul. And remember, all new Kias come with an easy 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. So with a huge selection of quality Kias, all clearly sale priced, backed by one of the best warranties in the business, well, it just doesn't get any easier than this to ring in the new year with a new Kia. So resolve to come down to the Strip in Hummel's Wharf or at SunburyMotors.com. 2016 is going to be easy at Sunbury Motors Kia. SMC, selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to Kia.com.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Pete Jensen, NHL.com, next half hour. Mark Daniels, Providence Journal on the Patriots coming up as well, as the greatest producer in the universe has come up with two home run hits.
Off of left-handed pitching.
As he told me in the break, I could hit left-handers better than Ryan Howard. I said, no offense, I don't think so.
That was a huge exaggeration, and I said it for a laugh. I do not believe I could hit left-handed pitching better than anyone in baseball at any level at this point.
Including Little League?
Yeah, have you seen some of these Little League pitchers? Man, do they have some movement on the ball.
Yeah. Okay. Second half hour coming up. Looking forward to it. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us. Time now for this day in sports history. 1952. It's an interesting trip here. The National Football League bought the franchise of the New York Yankees from Ted Collins. The franchise was then awarded to a group in Dallas on January 24th. In 1952, that Dallas franchise eventually folded, but they played a home game in Hershey at Hershey Park Stadium. Do you know that?
Yes, I'm aware of that. Yes.
Are we interrupting you?
You're interrupting my life. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. You can go back to it at 5:01.
Oh, okay. Well, no, because that's when the after show is, and that's my chance to shine.
How's that going for you?
I enjoy every minute of the after show.
So do I. 1953, Jesse Owens was named the Illinois Athletic Commission secretary. There's a movie coming out about Jesse Owens in the 36 Olympics.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about that. What's the name of that movie?
I don't know off the top of my head. I just saw the promo for the first time last night.
Yeah, Race? Race is the one.
Race, okay. Let's see. 1996, the NHL announces that the Winnipeg Jets were going to move to Phoenix to become the Phoenix Coyotes and now the Arizona Coyotes. The Winnipeg Jets that you see today used to be the Atlanta Thrashers. So there you are. That's this day in sports history. And since we are talking about hockey there at the end, we bring in, still to come, by the way, Mark Daniels, Providence Journal on the Patriots and the Broncos. That's in the next half hour. Said, Kevin, look, we need to get somebody to preview the game. He said, well, how about Mark Daniels of the Providence Journal? I'll call him. And Nikki Jabal of the Denver Post. He says, I'm the producer. I'll get this done. I think those are your exact words, weren't it?
I don't recall exactly how I worded it, but it sounds close.
I mean, it was one of those go-getting moments. You're like, boom, you just like kicked it into another gear. Okay, take your hands off the wheel. I got it. Okay. Pete, let's get to it. So far, who is in the NHL? Surprises, plus and minus, as to what you've seen so far.
It certainly hasn't surprised me that the Washington Capitals are the best team in the NHL, because coming into the season, they were my pick to win the Stanley Cup.
Oh, wow.
I was very impressed with their finish to the season last year. I thought they probably should have beaten the Rangers in the postseason, and I think they only got stronger this year when you look at the addition of Justin Williams, Evgeny Kuznetsov. I wrote about him today on NHL.com. He's like an elite-level NHL player right now. He's playing on the second line right now with Justin Williams, who only gets better in the playoffs. And then we've seen Braden Holtby back up his, outstanding top-five season last year with a season that's running away with the Vezina Trophy at the moment. So the Capitals being the best team in the league is hardly surprising. I mean, we've talked about disappointments, I think when I came on earlier in the year. I mean, the Anaheim Ducks are still a big disappointment when you look at where they were last year and their struggles this year. And it's a very weak Pacific Division. And right now, the Arizona Coyotes, San Jose Sharks, and L.A. Kings are all ahead of them right now, and they're kind of in a jumbled mess, just on the outside looking in. And with the same disappointing note, it's definitely surprising. I mean, we knew the Penguins might not win the Stanley Cup, but you certainly expected with the addition of Phil Kessel for them to be a playoff team. And right now they sit 1 point out and only 1 point ahead of the Flyers, who have a couple of games in hand. The Flyers actually starting to play their best hockey of the season at the right time, and they're right within striking distance of the Penguins, the Canadians, and a couple of other slumping teams out there.
The Penguins are the one, I think, that baffle a lot of people. How important over the years when they were very strong, how important was the depth on that hockey team, and where's the depth on that hockey team now?
Oh, no question about it. I mean, especially defensively, you look past few years, they've certainly had more pieces to play with, more depth. I mean, it's not unusual to see Chris Letang injured. I know he's back now, but It's just strange to see when he was out, they just were running guys out there. I mean, Ole Mata was their number one defenseman, and there wasn't much else behind him. And, yeah, when they won the Stanley Cup, when the past couple of years, when they got either a round, two rounds, three rounds into the playoffs, they certainly benefited from having more depth. And while their top six forward group is very strong, even with Pascal Dupuis no longer in the picture because of his health situation, Phil Kessel has been a big disappointment. David Perron, prior to being traded, was a huge disappointment. And these guys just have to keep plugging away, and they might have to make a trade before the deadline, because I think with time and with a potential reinforcement at the deadline on the back end, you could see some of the shooting percentages start to correct themselves. And obviously Carl Hagelin comes along from the Ducks. He was a disappointment. He has been with the Rangers for a number of years. He's now playing with Malkin and Kessel. So it'll be interesting to see how the speedy Carl Hagelin can provide an offensive spark maybe for the Penguins, or maybe fit a little bit better than David Perron did. Because Perron's tenure with the Penguins, he had a hot start, and then his shooting percentage was really in the toilet ever since. It was a shocking development to see how he was not able to convert on more goals than he did.
Later in the week, the Penguins will play the Flyers. So where do you see the Flyers right now? Because it's been 41 years since they've won the Stanley Cup. I mean, 41 years. I mean, if you talk to Flyer fans, they make it seem like it was yesterday. It wasn't yesterday.
That's true. Their defense is stronger than the Penguins right now, believe it or not. I mean, with the emergence of Shane Gostisbehere, Mark Streit is healthy again. They got Evgeny Medvedev coming over from Russia. He's gotten a little bit better over the course of the season. So defensively, they look okay. They've stacked their top line, which I like a lot. I think more teams out there should do that. When you look at Wayne Simmonds, Claude Giroux, and Jacob Voracek. So luckily, Voracek has turned his season around, because he was one of those big disappointments with the low shooting percentage to start the season. And now he's really heating up of late. I think big keys for the Flyers is continue to roll out that goalie tandem and get efficient play from both of them, whether it's Steve Mason, who's starting tonight in a huge game against the Toronto Maple Leafs, or Michael Neuwirth, who has had a ton of shutouts this season and has provided a spark during the Flyers' darkest days this season. So it's surprisingly promising. I think a big factor for the Flyers is, can Sean Couturier on the second line continue to sustain that type of production from the past month, because he's been close to a point-a-game player over the past 10, 15 games.
I know it's something you don't usually delve into, but I'll ask anyway. I was just in Las Vegas about 3.5 weeks ago. I've seen the new arena. It is spectacular, to say the least. Now, they don't have a commitment yet, and I know that Bill Foley feels a key is to get a top-notch practice facility, because it's something, for example, you can get youth involved. You can rent that thing out 365 days, 360 out of 365 days a year. We see it here with Pagula Ice Arena at Penn State. The Flyers have a practice facility like that. The Penguins have a brand new one in Cranberry. What does that do for a franchise when you talk to people, when you have that kind of facility like the Penguins and the Flyers do, as a matter of fact?
Yeah, it makes all the difference. It's important, especially for non-traditional markets. And, of course, it remains to be seen with the expansion talk. But certainly when you look at places like Tampa Bay, places like Arizona and Nashville, of course, the emergence of hockey being played in the area and having those facilities to develop the game and develop the interest in the game and also have a strong product on the ice, which you've seen with Nashville making the playoffs a number of years now, Tampa Bay making the Cup final last year, Arizona right now, believe it or not, in Stanley Cup playoff position in that weak Pacific Division, as I mentioned. So it helps when you have a combination of the facilities, because hockey's a fun game to play. And, the truth is, a lot of places in the country, especially in the southern regions, in the west regions. You know, California's developed a lot more in the past 10, 20 years. But prior to that, there was almost no footprint of hockey and youth hockey development in California.
Which is huge.
Huge. There's three franchises in California, so it makes a big difference.
Yeah, no, I mean, the youth hockey program in California is off the charts. I don't think people realize how many thousands of kids are playing hockey in California right now.
Yeah, and actually the projected number one pick in the draft next season, his name's Austin Matthews. He's from Arizona. So that's crazy if he was to be taken first overall just for the footprint of hockey in the state of Arizona.
And you look at what they want to do with Las Vegas. He wants to get a practice facility plan in place and land. And he's looked in Henderson, which is a big suburb, which is just to the east of Las Vegas. And also there's three sites in Summerlin he's looking at. They've sold 13,500 season ticket commitments, and all but one of his luxury suites are sold in Las Vegas. All but one.
It's a big business town. There's a lot of traffic coming in and out.
Oh, there's a lot of traffic in and out. Oh, yes, there's a lot of traffic. I'll tell you. You know what I think, though? If I had to pick, there are two areas where if I won, I see a lot of pluses with it. The arena, again, is gorgeous. It's right in back of the Monte Carlo. And the two drawbacks I see, there are a lot of pluses. Now let's get to the two drawbacks. The two drawbacks are the overall metro population in Las Vegas. That's one. Because it's not as if let's take Pittsburgh. You leave Pittsburgh and there's town after town after town after town after town. You leave Las Vegas and you go north, okay, and now you're on the way at Area 51. you go west and you're going over the mountains. There's nothing over there. You go east, you can go through Henderson and Boulder City and so forth, and there's at least some there. And the other part is, when do people work in Las Vegas? At night?
Yes. In the evenings, yeah.
When the games are played.
It would be a challenge.
Yeah, when the games are played.
If it happens, yeah.
I mean, it's not as if there's day there. Of course, there are day shifts, but there's more people on at night, too. So just a couple things to look at. But I give Foley credit. He's putting a lot of time and energy into doing this because they don't have a professional franchise. And
yeah, we've yet to see one of the major leagues take a step into Las Vegas, so it would be it would be interesting and challenging, but exciting for sure if they are able to make it happen.
And the NBA is far more content, from what I understand, with keeping the summer league and their coaches' meetings in Las Vegas in July and not putting a team in there right now. So the NHL could have it to itself for a period of time. All right, Pete, thanks so much. Appreciate it as always. Just one quick. Anybody who plays NHL fantasy, give me the top two guys you want to put on your list.
I mean, the top two guys right now are Patrick Kane and Alex Ovechkin. I mean, you look at too easy. I mean, the hot pickups, if you want to say. I mean, there's Tomas Hertl from the Sharks, who we remember from a couple years ago when he burst onto the scene as a rookie. He's playing with Joe Thornton again, who's the second hottest producer in the league over the past month or so. Joe Thornton, 36 years old. So I like Tomas Hertl quite a bit. I mean, there's a bunch of options out there. I mean, goaltending, I think you can't ignore what Louis Domingue is. And you probably don't know who he is. He's the starting goalie right now for the Arizona Coyotes.
I watched,
Mike Smith is injured, and he's hot.
I watched him play against the Sabres the other night.
Yeah. Sabres beat him, but...
Aha, Pete, you didn't think Yeah, I watched.
Nice, good stuff.
Yeah. Pete, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Have a good night, Pete.
You too, man. Thanks. Pete Jensen, NHL.com. See, I'm dangerous with that remote, Kevin. I'm dangerous with that remote. Yes, I did watch some of the Arizona-Buffalo game the other night. So I did see the dude play. He's actually pretty good. He didn't win the game. Buffalo won the game, but I actually watched some of it. All right, we're going to shift gears back to football. I would ask for Kevin's analysis of the interview, but when it comes to vulcanized rubber on a frozen pond, Kevin will admit it's not a strong suit.
No.
Football, on the other hand.
I can hold my own there. Now, if you go IndyCar, I'm your man.
What is Tom Brady's record at Denver?
Under 500.
Yes, and?
But I don't know exactly. I know it's under 500.
How about 2-7? We will, but, what is Tom Brady's record against Denver when he has Julian Edelman and Rob Gronkowski at the same time?
I have no idea what that would be.
4-0. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Should Ben Roethlisberger be traded?
Not till they find another quarterback to replace him.
I was just asking. I there's no thought of it.
And if the Steelers were to draft a quarterback this year, which, by the way, I don't think would be the craziest thing to do if you can find something in maybe the second or third round you think might be valuable or might be a good replacement and then wean them into the spot. Because let's face it, Ben's got, what, 3, maybe 4 years to go?
Was he 34?
I think so, yeah.
He's got 5 years.
See, I think that's optimistic. I really do.
He's strong. He's strong as an ox.
Okay, yeah, but he gets hurt every 5 seconds. I mean, and it's going to take its toll eventually. So wouldn't it be nice to have someone available
I just in a year him or two? 3 hours. I just watched him for 3 hours the other day.
Oh, I know.
But there are a whole bunch of five-second increments that went by and never once got hurt.
Yeah, 5 second increments. Wouldn't it be nice, though, to have a quarterback that you can take a year, bring along, and then the next year feel comfortable maybe putting him in for 2 games or 3 games when Ben gets hurt? Now, notice I didn't say if, but when.
Nobody does that anymore.
Yeah, I know. I don't understand why. Is it too much money to spend?
Why? Oh, yeah. If you're going to spend the collateral of a first-round pick...
Well, but I'm not saying first.
With the money that goes with it.
No.
With the money that goes with it.
I think second, even third, if you can find somebody that fits the bill.
You did that. You got Landry Jones.
Yeah, move on. If this was a fishing story, I'd cut the line.
A proven winner in the league.
Well, he has won. I can't deny that.
I don't think they have to worry about that yet. I really don't. I think that he's got 5 more years left in him.
I hope you're right.
I mean, look at Brady and Manning. I mean, let's just, okay, was he 34? So let's take it to 38 years old, 4 more years. I think 2 years from now they can start looking at what you're talking about. But not yet.
Well, they need a backup quarterback because right now they don't have one on the roster. And they don't have one on the practice squad either.
Yeah, they'll get one. They'll, like Bruce Gradkowski, they'll re-sign him or something like that.
I think you need a couple of secondary guys.
No argument there. That's your first round pick to me.
Lyman. Plus, you get Pouncey back next year, too. It's like getting a first round pick.